Well, thank you everybody for coming. This week was supposed to be Rabbi Adler, but he couldn't do it, and on very, very short notice, I asked Rabbi Blau, and he most heartily and quickly agreed, and I really appreciate it. So, next week is Rabbi Sittner, who lives in Bergenfeld, involved in the OU, I believe, was a rabbi in Charleston, Ari Sittner, and the week after that is Rabbi Adler, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, this is Echo. Thank you all for coming. I know it's like 2 days after the Chagim. Everybody's a little jet lag, I guess, from the interview here the whole time. Okay, as the title said, one of the more obscure stories in Bereshit, which is full of obscure stories, so no shortage of them, is what is going on with Lamech's wives. So let's read the Pesukim first, and then much discussed. What's beautiful about this is Machlokes between Rashi, Ibn Ezra, and Ramban. Each Mefarsh does exactly what you expect them to do. It's a good example of like everybody's filling their role very nicely. Okay, so if you have the sheets, before we get to the Chumashim, start with Pasuk Chaf Gimel on the first side. Well, I guess two sides, so. Chaf Gimel says, V'yomu Lamech Hanashav, Lamech says to his wives, Adavit Sila, his two wives, Shema Mekali, listen to my voice, Yishay Lamech Hazinra Imrasi, the wives of Lamech listen to my saying. Very obscure. Ki Isha Rakti Lepitsi, it seems like simple reading, I killed a person with my wounding, V'yelech Abursti, and they killed my wounding. Just seems to be killed somebody. That's not clear who that person was. And then he says, also very obscure, Kishav Asayim Yukam Kayin, kind of some sort of something with seven, a very unclear line. Lamech Shivim Shiva, Lamech should be, if Kayin is seven, Lamech should be 77. That's it. What's up with that? Unclear. What's he complaining about? What's his comeback to them? So let's go through person by person. The first, Rashi, as you know, is heavily influenced by the Medrash. When you have an unclear psukim, what does the Medrash usually do? If you have like a gap in the story, the Medrash will
try to fill in the gap.
Exactly. Basically, we'll tell you, well, what's missing in the story? So Rashi, exactly following that, will produce a whole story out of this, but the basis of the psukim is kind of weak. These psukim could go a lot of different ways. Okay, so as I'm sure you all remember back from like elementary school, here's a famous story, we'll read it now, in Rashi Lechef Gimel, Shema Bekoli, Shere Poshes Bimen Mitashmish. They didn't want to live with him anymore. Shahar gets Kayim as Tubal Kayim Beno. So Mr. Merrish said he killed both his great-grandfather Kayim and his son Tubal Kayim. I'm sure you remember the story. Shalamach Suma. The Merrish says that Lamech was blind. There's no indication of that in the second whatsoever. Lamech was blind. Tubal Kayim Moshcho. And basically, Tubal Kayim was his guide. He would tell him where to shoot. Now, I always thought when I was a kid, not a very inefficient way to be a hunter. Like having a kid tell you where to shoot. Does that really work? But okay. I guess it worked for them. V'ra'as Kayin, v'nidlo kachaya. So he saw Kayin. Tshuva Kayin didn't realize it was a person. He thought it was an animal. V'malaviv n'shoch pakeshet v'hargo. So he told his father, oh look, there's an animal over there. So Lamech mistakenly shot his great-grandfather Kayin and killed him. V'kivan, she'od shu Kayin, is the k'no, hikav kafakaf. He's so upset that he smashed his hands together. V'sipik ispano b'nehem. And I guess being blind, he didn't realize that his son Tshuva Kayin was there, so he crushed Tshuva Kayin. For her go, so he killed both his great-great-grandfather and his son. So his wife understandably upset that he killed his kid and his great-grandfather. Whom I said, so how do they reach the psukim? It says, Shema Koli, Lashmi Ali, Chiisha Harakti Lepitsi Hunarag, V'chani Pisatib Mezid, Shaya Pesa Kreyal Shmi. The way he reads it, Chiisha Harakti Lepitsi is not a statement, but a rhetorical question. Did I kill a person by wounding them? No, obviously he did. The way Rashi reads it is, did I kill somebody in a way that I should be responsible? It was a total accident. It's not my fault. So what are you mad at me for? So according to Rashi, he's saying that the quote of Kayin, I'm sorry, of Lamech is, it's not my fault. I didn't do it on purpose. So like, don't be mad at me. But then what do you mean by the second part, Kishivam Kayin? So we go to Chav Dalet. It says, Kayin Shaharek Mezid Nitzol Shevedaros. This is going to be a key pasuk for this whole discussion. If you guys take one aside, back when Kayin kills Hebel, so Hashem says to me, if you have your chumashim open, we're going to see this pasuk. That back in Perek Dalad, pasuk Tesvav. Okay, so Hashem says to Kayin, V'yomer lo Hashem, v'chein kol Kayin shebasam yukam. Whoever kills Kayin, something up to him seven. Now it's interesting. Shebasam yukam is basically the same words as our pasuk. What our pasuk said. Kishu Hashem Yukam Kayin, and it says Hashem says to Kayin, Hashem Yukam. So clearly, our pasuk is referencing back to that pasuk. The question is, what does that pasuk mean? So let's go to the crowd first. What are two possibilities that means? Whoever kills Kayin Shibasam Yukam, what could that mean? Something about seven?
Could be revenge.
That what?
By seven times seven.
Exactly. One approach, that's not the one that Rashi thinks Rabban going to take, because that means whoever kills Kayin will be Yusam Yukam will be paid back seven times. Meaning I'll get you back really badly. Okay, let's hold that one in abeyance, because that one's actually not the approach that Rashi is going to take. The way they're reading it is, Shibasam Yukam, I will give you an extension of seven generations. Instead of killing you now, I'll kill you seven generations from now. Okay, so we're going to two ways of reading it. Either, Kai, you're really bad, but because you repented, I'll give you a seven-generation break. I'll kill you seven generations from now. Or saying, whoever kills Kayin, I'll get you back seven times over. Okay, so either Shibasam Yukam, if that person will be paid back seven times, or if you come, you Kai will get paid back in seven generations. Okay, going with seven generation one, Rashi says, go back to Arash Haftalid. Kai Shark made it, Mitzvah Shiva Dora. So if Kayin, who killed his brother on purpose, got seven generations that got killed, Anisha Archi Shogig, Lakol Shachet Shitli Shiva Sam Harbe. So I did it by accident, for sure I should be paid back way, way later. So don't be mad at me. If God was nice to Kayin, for sure be nice to me. Okay, so Rashi approach number one, really the most important part is the stylistic part. The Medrash has an obscure pasuk, so it kind of fills in the story to make the story make sense. So they fill in the story that, the whole story how he went with his son, the Shah Kayin, he came with Kayin and Jubal Kayin, and his son his wives, it's not my fault, so don't be mad at me. So that's Rashi number one. Then Rashi number two, and this will be, interestingly, Rashi and Ezra kind of agree on this, with one important difference. Medrash Precious Rabbah, Lo Hargam Lech Klum, Lo Nothing Clean Made at All, but it's a precious moment, which is kind of pure verivia, because it sounds like a throwaway line, which will be very important in a couple of minutes. His wives, having already fulfilled Puruvu, the future nigga Xero, Kalasar Shakana Hashavadara. So basically said, look, Lamech God said, I'm going to kill Kain after some generations. They understood that not as Kain would be killed in some generations, but after some generations, Kain's family is going to be wiped out. So saying, if our family got wiped out anyway, why should we have more kids? We're all going to die anyway. What's the point? So the reason they separated from him is not because he did anything wrong, but they're saying, look, this is all pointless, they're all kids are going to die anyway, why should you have more kids? And Lemus said back to them,
what's the point?
Why
are we having kids for no reason? It's a call. Tomorrow, a marble will come to destroy us all. It doesn't necessarily mean the marble isn't the full time to Noah. They think something will happen to kill our family off because God guaranteed that some generations are all going to die.
So which one is it? Because of the marble? Because
no, so I think the reason why I picked the marble is because since the marble was what ended up killing them, so God, Rashi's almost filling in what happens later, earlier in the story. I mean, they didn't know the marble was going to happen. They didn't read Noah because it didn't happen yet. But they're saying some natural disaster will kill off our kids.
Okay.
But I think the reason why Rashi picked the marble is because the marble was a natural disaster and ended up doing it. So Rashi's kind of like sting early in the story that it actually happened. But he says to them, why should I get punished? He's saying, did I kill? Now the problem is, how do you be the possible about killing a Ish and a Yelid? Right? So the first Rashi said he killed two people, Kain was an Ish, and Chival Kain was a kid. But he reads it as, I killed Hebel, who was, say, Ishbukoma, who was a man, who was all grown up, the Al-Bashanim, but he's actually very young, because I killed him early on in life.
It's one of the same person.
Exactly. He's the same, very good. He's the same person. It's very clear, but also I was like, why should my children get killed? Like, yeah, Kai was a bad person. He deserves to get killed. But I don't think, why should I die? So he says, my Kai Shaharak, Nitzalel Shavadara. So if Kayin got some generations before he gets wiped out, Anishal Rakhila, Koshkhaj Tili Shibur's Harbor, I should certainly get an extension. But she points out, it's like Kai Machamash Shishtu, so it's not good logic. In Kin, Kosh Brokham, Gobas Chobam, Kai Mustavaro. If God said he's going to kill Kayin's kids, so he's going to do it. So Lois argued, like, I don't deserve it. Okay, the whole question of why kids get punished for the parents' sin is a complicated and hard to come up with a good explanation for a problem international in general. But given that's how things work, they're actually saying that's not a good logic. If God said I'm going to kill Kain's kids, you're the unfortunate person who's Lois' kids, who's Kain's kids, you're going to get coming to you. Okay, here's going to be the why that line about the ask if you fulfill proof is important. If you look back the previous psukim, right before the thing about Lamech, so you don't have any sheets, but if you go to the if you have the Chumash, it's in the same parak. It says back in Pasuk Tes, a few weeks from earlier, Yigach Lamech Teino Shem, Lamech has two wives, Shem has Ada, the first one is Ada, Shem has Shem Sia, the second one is Sila, so the Ada is Yaval, Hoya Vi Ovech Avikina, So Adar once in Yavol, who was the father of people who sit in tents and have cattle. Shemachiv Yuval, his brother's Yuval, Boya Avi called Tovesh Kino Bogav. He was the father of people who play music. Shvigamhi Yaldas Chubakai, Lotesh Kochosh, Chosh Barzel, Chosvakai Naman. And Sila had a son, Chubakai, who made metal, and Chubakai's wife was Nama. So here's the problem. If you interpret Kochi Rashi, let's take a step back. Rashi's first interpretation was Lamech killed two people, the wives are mad at him. The second interpretation is they don't have kids, because look, we're all going to die anyway. Well, if they don't have kids, what's the obvious problem? Then why the previous three psukim did they have four kids? That's the point, they don't want to have any kids, so they just had four kids. They obviously weren't so concerned about that. So that's why Rashi chose to deal with that. He said,
he had kids, and they once they were Mekayim, his stuff.
But that's why Rashi has to fill that in. Rashi's saying, because logically, if their taina is like, we're going to die anyway, so why do they have any kids? So Rashi said, they felt the need to do Puruvu first. It's almost like, they're being for me for a second. They're like, well, the Mishnah says Puruvu, we have to have kids. But with the advocate, like, we have kids already, now we're done.
So with that fill in, the Pesukim are no problem.
But that's how Rashi deals with it. Rashi says that, that's where he adds the line, Mishikam Puruvu. Right, seems like they're not necessarily lying in Rashi. But they once said Puruvu, and now they're arguing this. That's Rashi's point. There's a logical problem in his explanation. That the circus has been having kids. Why did they have four kids beforehand? That makes sense. I look unhappy. That's the point where I'm hoping for a reaction.
What's Rashi versus what's the Medrash?
So that's always a problem. But did the Medrash fill it in? Okay, I'll be honest. I didn't look up the Medrash Rabba, so I'm not going to promise one or the other. But we can see that the Ibn Ezra has a totally different take on this, dealing with the same problem. Okay, so Rashi in the first words again is, we're all going to die after some generations. So what's the point of having kids? So he stops it there. The key problem is, why did they have kids before? And so Rashi says, oh, they did Puruvu first, and then they felt they just died. Now, I think it's a little problematic. First of all, the idea that they were so frum, they had to do Puruvu first. I'm like, I don't know, is there any indication that they were like that frum, that bothered them? But also, two, if they really did Puruvu, they should have had one boy and one girl. If you look at the list, it's three boys and one girl. So they didn't even fulfill Puruvu. We actually have to say it more like, well, we kind of did Puruvu, or maybe they held, like, you're a type of boy and a girl. I don't know how lucky we're going to get with that. Okay, so that's all quite trashy. What's fascinating, how Ibn Ezra has...
Rashi himself is problematic, because he speaks about the destruction of the Mekayim and the basis of his having killed Heber, and then he puts in the marble.
I think the Mabel, I think Rashi is taking what happened later and putting it earlier in the story. Because I think they just meant, if our family is supposed to die out, some disaster will happen or kill off our family.
And you know what the problem with that is? Who is Noah's wife?
Nama.
That's Cain's progeny.
Okay, fair.
That's Bedavka why I think Chazal used Nama as his wife to undo.
You think he didn't really want to die, that guy? Okay.
Man.
Please, Dr. Becker.
You mean they had the same wife?
You're assuming that.
Take a look.
That's the marriage, but yeah.
Please. Is it okay? We sit next to each other and she so. Well, Hevel is Hevel. Why is Hevel Hevel? Because he has no progeny.
I'm a bit of this.
Hevel is Hevel because he has no progeny. Cain is not Hevel because he has progeny. Well, how does he have progeny? Through Nahama. So even though the world gets destroyed, Noah marries Cain's progeny. So Cain is not heaven.
Oh, I think you had to be that to keep him on. Okay,
in order for Cain not to be heaven, nothing, his progeny has to be...
Keep his way.
Keep going.
Right.
So.
That's a point to point out, as my aunt pointed out, that even though Noah's wife was Nama, that's not 100% clear. I mean, Rashi assumes they're the same person, but it's not totally clear in Pesukim at all that they're the same. But Rashi doesn't assume that, so Rashi, if she does so, would be stuck with.
Generations.
Correct. Well, I mean, generations back, yes, fair. Again, he went for an older woman. This is about Noah. Okay, now the Ibn Ezra fills in a classic Ibn Ezra approach. I don't know if I talked about this before, but the Ibn Ezra has this idea that a Vav and Tanakh, he calls a Vav HaZman, could often mean A, even though the person says A and B, but it means B happened before A. It means and B already happened. Now, normally he uses it for things back-to-back in the past, which is much more reasonable. Let's see a few examples. Here he extends that much more to say that it means something happening several psukim later actually happened earlier. So you go to Ibn Ezra, and Ibn Ezra Chafkim, it says, V'yom v'da, k'v'yom alamach mu'chabar parasha, Yom alamach, is actually later in the parsha than it should be, meaning Lilema said this earlier on in the story. And the point is supposed to be that he's dealing with exactly the problem that Rashi dealt with. Why is it that they had kids beforehand if they're worried about everybody dying out? So Rashi reads it as they have the kids. And why did they have the kids? Because Lamech already had this discussion beforehand. We convinced them that the kids aren't going to die out, so therefore it's okay. So he doesn't have to say, as Rashi said, he did Puruvu first. He reads it as this discussion happened first and it's justifying why they had the kids earlier on. But they have the kids because Lamech had already said, it's like really in terms of chronology, it should be, what pasuk was that? It should be, Pesukim Chafkim al Chafdal, it should be first, that happened first, and then they have the kids. Now, why it is they do it out of order? That part's a little bit unclear for Ibn Ezra. Meaning, why should Pesukim say it in an obscure way? That's what he's dealing with. Why is it that they have the kids first? Because really, that happened beforehand. Now, he gives a couple of examples of the Vav Hazma, which is more reasonable. His Kvaris Katz Kimar Mishnah, so I show you some other examples. Okay, here's just one quick example. The Inchai Sarah, the way the Pesukim describe it, when Eliezer finds a wife, first he hands her the jewelry, and then he asks her, who are you? Which is a little bit weird, like, what if she had said something really crazy? You could be, oh no, let me take it back. Like, why go to her first? So Rashi there says he was so convinced Hashem would help him, he said, Shemuna, he gave it to her anyway, like, of course God will help me out. The Ibn Ezra reads it as, not that he gave her first and asked her name, he gave it to her first, and had already asked her, who are you? Or the Vavas Man, meaning the second thing would happen first.
What's the Vavas Man? Vayikach? No.
What?
What's the Vavas Man?
Well, we said Vikach Ish, means he had already taken and given it to her. Meaning, before he asked her who she was, he already asked her who you are. I'm sorry, it's not Vikach Ish, he really means the next pasuk. The next pasuk is, then he asked her, who are you? That happened beforehand.
Is Vav there too?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Right. Harry's point to you guys, if I never noticed that, right? He's actually quoting the wrong pasuk. He means the pasuk afterwards. But the point is, putting the two together, you have to say that the second thing happened first. Now, the point here is that that's a reason. He has a lot of proof for that. I'll give you one quick one in a second. That's very reasonable to jump from A and B to three psukim and then pasuk four happened before the first three is a huge jump, and I think much more reasonable to set it up that way in terms of chronology. I mean, even though he can establish this principle. On the principle, it doesn't necessarily mean he could comply in our case. The other classic example of his is, Hek isn't quoted here, is in the Man, the Pasuk says, when you leave the Man out, it says that, Vayam Toa'im, it got wormy, Vayavashim, it's spoiled. But what's the problem? What should have happened first? But first they get spoiled, and then they get wormy. They don't get wormy, they get spoiled. But they get wormy because they're spoiled. So that's a great proof of the Ibn Ezra. Sometimes Vav means, and it happened already, right? Vayam Toa'im, it got wormy. Why? Vayavash, because it had been spoiled beforehand. That's not looking unhappy with that one. I thought it was a solid proof. You look unhappy. Okay?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
So you can pick whatever you want and say it's a vote.
So that's the big problem you've been asked, because even though you can prove it several times, the problem is, but for the exact same vote, how do you know if it's a vote is man or it's a vote means the and it's A then B?
I mean, vote exists forever.
Everywhere, 100%. I totally agree. That's a huge problem you've been asked, but I think that the Man example to me is a very compelling one. Because it's a little bit weird. What are you saying that? Another good one he has is in Zechariah. So you know the Haftarah for Shabbos Chanukah when Yehoshua is on trial. So it says he's supposed to take off the dirty clothing and put on the clean clothing. What he says is put on the mitznefes, put on the turban, and then put on clean clothing. But as you all know, you don't put your hat first, then your clothing. That's backwards. You put your clothing first, then your hat. That's another example he says. It means put on the turban, having already put on the clean clothing. So I totally agree, but I think some of the examples to me are very compelling. Like,
is there a reason why the Torah does it that way? No, we don't know.
I mean, I think it's all problem, like, why is in Rikim Mukhub Torah? Like, why is the Torah garbage right
now? Okay.
Why is it about the Hebrew? Like, okay. The point is, but even as we're dealing with the same problem that Rashi was dealing with, but Rashi goes much more midrashic, like, oh, they're doing Puravu. And he goes more like, no, I have this general principle about the Hebrew. I'm just going to extend it here to make it more sense. But what's really cool is the Ramban. This is fascinating, I think. So first of all, you may recall, this is all predicated on the assumption of the pasuk about Kayin meant Kayin be punished after 7 generations. Right? If it meant I'll punish Kayin 7 times over, then it's totally irrelevant to why Lamech should be upset. Like, the whole point is that since Kayin can get punished for 7 generations, Lamech is like, we don't want to be there for what happens, so we're going to have kids who are going to end up being punished for Kayin's sin. So I'm going to point out, that's not the only way of reading those psukim. So you go to Ramban now. Okay, the Ramban's a little bit long. I actually apologize. My photo copy didn't realize that the page got a little wavy. Sorry about that. But he says, Yomar Nachman Hashav. He says, Some of the Mepharshim being our Kasva is that Adas Unkelus. He says, All the Mepharshim, meaning both Rashi and Ezra, were all based on Unkelus' understanding. Shapir, Shechen Kalar Kain, Shresem Yukam, because Shavidoris, you could be men of Loata. If you read the earlier Pasek of Kain be killed for the seven generations, then you can read it both with Rashi and Ibn Ezra's approach of the wives are nervous, their kids end up dying, and saying, we don't want to be punished for that, so let's not have any more kids. But it's all based on that reading of it. It happens to be that was the Targum over there. Kiyoshev Deros, you can be men of Al-Ata, but God is saying back then with Kayan, you'll get punished for some generations, not now. Kimirachapomi Manu, Hashem was patient with him. Lamos Mother is saying, but we're going to take punishment for that. So Rashi do that. Okay, that's all. Both Rashi and even Ezra. Skipping ahead three lines. It says, his Rashi. He says, Vim Kain, Yom Lachain Kolar Kain and Shimon Yukam Men of Lobby Amav. Vizet Targum Shunklis, Kol Dix Al Kain and Shimon Darin Deform Yemanu. So he points out, that's based on the Targum. Targum says, Kol Dix Al Kain and Shimon Darin Incineration Deform Yemanu, there'll be a punishment. Vim Kain, Rosh Yom Lamach Nashal Mukdam. The Ramban doesn't like to give the Rashi and Ezra approach. He says, wait a second. Then this pasuk should have happened earlier. Right? This pasuk happened before they had the kids. So clearly, doesn't like Rashi's explanation of it did prove it first. He certainly doesn't like the Ben-Ezra explanation is out of order, because the Ramban is very anti doing out of order. He's very much into chronology as it is. But parenthetically, he's so into that on the pasuk about the man. He said that God made a miracle that got wormy first and then spoiled. Because he still doesn't want to be out of order. Which is a little bit weird, because like, it seems like a very unnecessary miracle. The guy's like, oh, by the way, isn't this cool? I can make it roomy first. Like, what does that add to the story? But the Ramban still wants it to be in order that he sends even over there. So based on that problem, based on the Ramban has two problems with the Rashi Ibn Ezra approach. First of all, A, he doesn't like the fact that's out of order. He doesn't like Ibn Ezra approach that's out of order. And he doesn't even quote Rashi, but it seems like the Rashi Puravu thing, he doesn't even bother rejecting it, so he didn't like that at all. Saying, if the Rashi Ibn Ezra is correct, then this pasuk should be earlier. And then he's going to say, and anyway, he doesn't think the reading of the earlier pasuk by Kain is right anyway, so the whole thing is totally wrong. So he says, first of all, he has a question on their approach. He says, Lufidati, 79, Im tam shivoayim shavadaros, klotomar milazos ashamun hafardim, raka kifal devaracha shopamim. He doesn't think the word shivoayim ever means seven different things, like seven generations. It means seven times over. Here's an example. Kumum zakak shivasayim. Like the pasuk Tehillim talks about something being purified seven times over. Or Shem Shur saying, get paid back seven times. For Achamim Shivoayim, the light of the sun is seven times the light of the moon. It ever says the word that word, which is Shivasayim, doesn't mean seven units, it means seven times over. So based on that, he says, Avopirash Kolwe Kayan Kachuto, Shemar Shem Lachem Kol Shoyharo Kayan, Shivasayim Kumi Manu, saying, saying, I don't really punish Kain. If you do, I'll get you back so bad, I'll get you seven times over for the sin. It's interesting also, the Ramban doesn't quote this, but in...
Say that again? What's the Yom Lachain?
So the way he reads the pasuk is not as Rashi Ibn Ezra wrote it as, after seven generations, I will get the person who did it, but whoever kills Kain, I'll pay him back seven times over. Like, I'm going to be so mad you killed Kain, I won't just pay you back once, I'll pay you back seven times. Like, I really, really don't want to do this. So he said, he reads it as... Anush, I will punish Harugotor, who kills him, Shevachatoso, seven times for his sin. Being a servant you did, I'm going to pay you back seven times over. Now, it's interesting, Rabban doesn't quote this, but in general Tanakh, the number seven often doesn't necessarily mean seven, just means many. Right, there are tons of examples of that. There's a couple of classic ones. One in Mishnah, it says, Shevachatoso, you pull a Tanakh from a Tanakh falls seven times and gets up. But clearly, doesn't mean if he falls eight times, like, right, I'm done here. I mean, he'll fall many times and go up again. It doesn't mean I fall six, like, oh, I have to fall one more time. Right, that's a clip. But there are tons of examples. Also, the Tochacha, it says again and again, I'll punish you seven times for your sins. So Rashi always moves to the Pesukim. Well, even though the Pesukim don't know seven things, but one of them is two of them are one, he always starts to work out to be seven. But all the Pashtanem, like even Ezra, the Rashbam will say, no, it just means I'll punish you many times for your sin. So here also, it doesn't mean I'll punish you seven times. It's not like I'll punish seven times over. It means I'll punish you a lot. I'll be very upset. You killed him, you punished many times for that. So Ramban doesn't quote it here, but I think it's pretty clear. That's what he means by that. Continuing now. Kinyiv Tachtis Kain, Shuli Harog, over your Osov Fedopanak. I'm saying, because Kain did Shuba, I think he shouldn't get killed. So if you kill him, that's really bad, so I'm going to be mad at you. Okay, so Ramban rejects Rashi ben Ezra. Then the question is, so what do the Pesukim mean? As the Pesukim is super unclear, how's Ramban going to read it? So Ramban has a fascinating take, but we need one more Machok Rishonim to understand it. Okay, in the Pesukim beforehand, we said that all of the sons of Ramach had various professions. Right, just to review for a second. The first one was, in Pasuk Chaf, Yaval was the father of all people who sit in tents and have, you know, shepherds, basically. In Chaf Aleph, Yuval was the father of people who play music. And then Tshuva Kain, he made metal. Now, this is probably going back to elementary school days. Remember, what's Rashi's take on all these Pesukim? Rashi assumes that each generation is going to progressively worse and worse. Since all these professions were all for? Were all for either war or Batazara.
Or what?
War or Batazara. If you look at the Rashi there, well, okay, you guys have the Rashi, and I don't. Can you pass me a Chumash? If you look at the Rashi in the Pesukim, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Aaron. Sorry. So if Rashi there says, it says, Bakan Chaf, Oshem Mekneh, he says, Umer Shagada, Bode Batavas Kachavim, and what does he mean he sat in tents? It means he made houses for Varazara. Kedachiv Tavas Kinovaga, Vazamu Kachavim, he made music to do Varazara. It says Shavakai made metal, Rashi reads that he made weapons. So Rashi's always reading a negative. Now, the simple reading, and this is going to be the Ibn Ezra's approach, is that no, it just means that he was the first musician, this is the beginning of human civilization, he's the first one to have shepherds, and he was the first person with metal. So Ibn Ezra reads it as neutral. Rashi always reads it as negative. Okay, that'll be important for Ramban in one second, just a quick aside. Why do you think Rashi makes it all negative? Let's think about the progression of the story here. Can we start with Adam, and a perk later, what are we going to have? Where's the next parsha? Well, first Noah, then bring up Babel. Like, everything is really, really bad. So I think the impetus for Rashi saying that is, we start off with Adam speaking to God, but at the end of the parsha, all of a sudden people are so big, God wants to kill them. It's hard to imagine that they were good, and then like, all of a sudden a generation turned around and became super evil. So Rashi reads it as there was a steady progression getting worse and worse and worse until they were so bad that they deserved a Babel. So I think that Rashi, based on the later Pesukim, reads it backwards, they must have been evil the whole way through, so reads it all as negative. Okay, so assume you read it as a negative, so Ramban is going to take also. This is also interesting, the Ramban will often kind of theorize to fill in missing gaps in stories, like what's missing in the story. Like, for example, when Moshe kills the Mitzri, so then he runs away to Midian, and he comes back when he's 80. They kill the Mitzri about 20, there's like 6 years missing in the story. It's like, what happened those 60 years? So the Ramban's approach is that he's a fugitive the whole time, he's like running from place to place. He knows something, same hotel two nights in a row, because their power is after him. The Ramban will often fill in like details in the story, not the way the Medrash does, like coming up with like a whole like midrashic story. But just kind of assume, well, since there's a gap here, I'll, based on the evidence we have, kind of fill in the gap for you. So here as well, where he says, from Avil Hanira Be'inai, it's who says number 80 in the Ramban? It's about 3/4 of the way down. The first line is 80. So later in the line says, it's a parable, Hanir Be'inai, Ke Lamach Ishchacha Ma'od, B'chomach Malsheva, seeing that Lamach was a really smart person, L'b'no B'chor in Hamira, Kvi Teva Behemot, so he taught his first son to be a shepherd. L'b'no said, Sheni Ishchacha Ma'sinigon, the second one he taught him to be, how to play music. L'b'no said, Shlishi L'tosh L'asos, Chavah for Machim, Chaniyo B'chom Yikimachamba. Like Rashi, he assumed the third son wasn't just a metalsmith, but he made weapons. Now, what he's adding, though, is that it's not just that his kids have these professions. These guys have these professions because of Lamech. I mean, Lamech was this Renaissance man. He was good at music. He could make metal. He did all this stuff. He tore his kids. So when his son made weapons, it's not his son who's a weapon maker. It goes back to Lamech, who was the original weapon maker. Okay, so based on that, he says, for the Shem Shachados, Sheinosh, Ki Be'echav, Tzich Ba'olam. So the rabbi's basically saying, like, you're a horrible person. You brought weapons to this world. All they get killed now is all your fault. So the reason the wives were separating from him is not because anybody he killed, not because he didn't get killed for Kai and sin, saying, you are a bad person. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Finish your
no,
please,
yeah, okay. Doesn't
that conflict though with Pesukim, which describes Yaval as a video shaping power, and it describes Tuval as the each of the first two is Adi, Yosheba, Ravna, Adi, Kotzefeth, Kimar. If their father already knew it, they wouldn't have been the originators and the progenitors of.
Okay, that's an excellent point. I'll be honest, I'm not really sure the Rambam would say to that. I would guess he would say that, by Avi, I don't mean they're the first, but they're the ones who like, really made it happen. It was like, Lamech is kind of like, ish, we were up and making, and then they're the ones who like, really got a website and all the servers everywhere and start spreading it. But that's an excellent point that I did not think about beforehand. That's an excellent point. What? No, okay, that's important.
Wait, but Lamech was, reading this with Lamech was bad?
Well, not necessarily bad, but saying because Lamech taught his son to make weapons, so his wives feel like it's your fault now the weapons are being used to kill people. Was exactly how that's that's an interesting point for the end of Ramban. The Ramban ended up basically taking the NRA argument. What's the classic NRA argument? Right, guns don't kill people. What's the NRA argument? People kill people, right? The Ramban's going to claim, we'll get to it in a second, that Lamech is using that argument. He's saying, I'm not killing people, my weapons kill people, it's not my fault. It's like, I'm just making a god. What do they do with that? That's not my problem. So, in fact, an early mark of the NRA, well, depending on how you read Lamech, a good person or a bad person, he had a good proof for them or a good proof against them. He says, where are you? So, for instance, his wife separated from him because they were upset that he killed people. Right. V'huam alehen, we're now 2, 4, 6 lines at the bottom. V'huam alehen, Ani la raki shepatsim, l'chaburus, kashar sakkar, I didn't kill him the way Kayin did. When he says, Hashem won't punish me. I wish Miriam and Ariga, Yosemi Menor, Hashem will protect me more so than Kayin. Saying, the sword doesn't kill people, the people who use the sword kill people. So his argument is like, I'm not killing anybody, I'm just making the weapons that kill the people. So don't blame me, I'm not a bad guy. I'm just making a profession here, so it's not my fault. He's saying that the person who created it should not get punished. So his reading of it is like, don't come after me, I just make the weapon, it's not my fault.
So now the psukim makes sense, though, according to what he's saying.
Correct, but the way he's reading it is, let's go back to the psukim now. He reads it as, Lamech says to his wives were mad at him because he made weapons, saying, listen to me. He's also reading as a rhetorical question, but not very Rashi read it as, it's not my fault that I killed Kayin, Chubal Kayin, because I was Meshoge. He reads it as, I'm the one that kills people. Do I kill people with it? No, I just make the weapons. The people kill them, the people use it afterwards. And the next pasuk is saying, Kishem Yukam Kayin, if God gave Kayin a break, but the way he reads it is not that he said him some generation, but he was so mad he said, whoever kills Kayin will get punched sometimes over. So I, who didn't kill anybody, I just made the weapons, for sure, Yukam Shivim Shivab, certainly God give me a break because I didn't do anything wrong at all. Okay, let's just sum this up because there's a lot to unpackage here. So we had three Mefarshim, Rashi had two approaches. Let's take them one by one. So the problem is, once again, what is Lamech saying to, why is everybody mad at him? What's his comeback to them? What's he quoting from Kayin? So both Rashi and Ezra assumed their earlier pasuk, when God said, Kishvarim Yukam Kayin, meant that Kayin will have 7 generations before he's punished. Assuming that, so Rashi first goes to Midrash and fills in a whole story that how he shot Kayin by accident, and he killed Chubal Kayin by accident, and he said, well, it's not my fault. And if Kayin got 7 generations, I'll get even more so. Talmud Midrash reading. The second one, being the same as even Ezra, is like, if you read it as, it's also interesting, Kishvarim Yukam Kayin doesn't necessarily mean, even if you read it as, after 7 generations, I'll pay him back, you could read it as, I'll kill Kayin for 7 generations. Right? They're both assuming that's not that I'll kill Kayin, but I'm so mad at Kayin that I'll pay him back by wiping out his whole family for 7 generations. If you read it as, after 7 generations, you don't necessarily have to take that extension. But you could read it as, I'll kill Kayin for 7 generations, but not necessarily, maybe just, I'll just kill Kayin. Both Rashi and Ezra understand that, it's like, I'm so mad at Kayin that I'm going to get him back so bad that all Kayin's gone. The whole family's gone, 7 generations. The big problem with that is, but they had kids beforehand, so if Lamech's wives are nervous, why should we have kids? Then why do they have the kids first? So, oh, Harry looks unhappy. What are you?
Counting the generations.
Oh, does it work out? I did not count that. I was kind of assuming.
I stopped in the middle.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. I was just assuming, if both Rashi and Ezra went with that, I assume they had it right, but...
Yeah. All right,
but is that right? That'd be really disturbing for us.
I'm not there yet. Go ahead, keep talking.
Okay. Well, let us know. Right. Rashi read it as, well, they had to do Puru first, but they did Puru, like, we're done now. But another says, no, it's a Vavazman, it's saying that the second thing happened for the first thing. The problem even Ezra is, like, even though he establishes pretty compellingly the idea that Tanakh A and B can be A and B happen first in the seven.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go, it works out. You can tell that Rashi was right. But this extension of not just A then B, but four psukim later, the B then after four has a huge extension. That's what Pasadena is saying, that really, Lemos Y didn't have any kids at all. And they'll convince them, no, it's not so bad. So then, based on that, they have kids previously, but actually previously in psukim, but later in chronology. The Rambam doesn't like saying two levels. A, he doesn't like the idea that it's out of order, because Rambam's a big order person. Okay, he doesn't even quote the Rashi by Peribri, he still doesn't like that. He doesn't even bother rejecting it. And he also says it's all based on understanding beforehand that Kain being paid back seven, where the seven was, means after seven generations, which is based on the Targum. Also, it's parenthetical. It's a good example of the Targum, you know, at the same time as the Medrash. So all the Targum and Medrash say the same idea. The big question is, which is first, which is second? Of course, they're contemporaneous. They don't know if the Medrash got it from the Targum or the Targum got it from the Medrash. That's like an unanswerable question, which happens many times over, because it's the same simultaneous, it's hard to know who's the originator of it. But the Rambam quotes it as, they're all based on the Targum. He also could have said it's all based on the Bereshis Rabba, which you could understand also. But the Rambam said, I don't like that. I think the pasuk before I meant, I'll pay back seven times over. He points out that the Tzurich Messiah, he quotes many pesukim, it doesn't mean seven units, but seven times over. Also, parenthetically, as you pointed out, even though the Rambam didn't say it, also remember, seven tznach just means a big number, you'd have to say it here, otherwise the person who killed him would pay back seven times, as far as we know. I mean, I'll pay him back really big time. But he reads it as, so based on that reading, beforehand, it's not that they thought the kid would die out. He reads it as, assuming the pasuk about his son making metal is a negative, which is also an assumption, but even as it says, that's totally neutral. He just threw the first metalsmith. Nothing bad about that. But he's reading it based on midrashic reading that they made weapons. In classic Ramban, he fills in the gap in the story, says, they're a minute because you're the weapon maker, we don't be married to a guy who makes guns. It's like, well, he's an NRA argument. I just make the guns. I don't kill people. So he reads the pasuk. He's like, I didn't kill the people. My guns did. So therefore, to be mad at me. And if Kain actually killed somebody, got a break. That guy was so mad, he pinned back seven times. I didn't kill anybody. For sure, God would give me a break. So he reads it. But really, each one is a fascinating take. But really, the big takeaways is each one do what they're supposed to do. Rashi pulls in the gap and story of the Medrash. Ibn Ezra has some general Tanakh thing that he uses all the time to deal with the problem. And the Ramban is very fixed on chronology being right, and he's going to fill in the gap in the story, but not in the midrash to make up all the story, but he's taking like one step further to fill in what's missing in it. All right, thank you all for coming. You guys are great.
Let me tell you about this. You mentioned the Letzicha. It struck me very interesting because his brother composed Wavana. Hitler loved music.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wagner, great thing. I mean, my cousin where I was saved himself because he was an opera singer. So you can be Tuval Kain, you can create music, and his brother creates weapons. So his wife said, look, you can be, just because you're Wagner and all that, you could be a murderer. Let's see, what do you think about that?
I like that a lot. Excellent.
An
excellent coda. So I tell you, thank you for coming.
My husband actually saved his life because he was an opera singer.